Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Word of the Lord, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." I want to talk to you about the double portion. Because Living Way Church, you may be seated. Living Way Church is a double portion church. I invite a lot of people. I do a lot of business with people that are not Christian, or at least they're not spirit-filled Christians. And I invite them to church, and a lot of them come. But a lot of them just don't come back. One trip is all they can take. And it's always the same response when I see them. "You were at church? Yes. How'd you like it?" Maybe they're complimentary, but they always get around to this: "It's just too much. It's just too much." I've had people say, "It just don't take all of that to go to heaven. It's just too much." But I so relate to this verse because it's my nature to ask of God a double portion. Some people want to be saved and then ask God for less. I want to be saved and ask God for more. I'm continually hungry for the things of God. And I have seen more than most preachers will see in a lifetime as far as miracles, as far as building church and church growth and building and people. But I am not satisfied. I still have on me the spirit of Elisha that says, "I want a double portion." The calling of Elisha was something that I relate to. It was like a conversion. Elijah was getting older. He was an older man. And I think Elijah dealt with a real ego situation in his life. If you read his conversations with God, he said, "God, I'm the only person you've got on the earth." Ever feel that way? "I'm the only one, God. Nobody else is living right. Nobody else is." He said, "God, I'm the only one." And God said, "Oh, shut up, Elijah." He said, "I've got 7,000 that have never bowed to Baal." Elijah said, "Oh, I didn't know that. I thought I was the only one." Friend, God's got a big old church. You don't need to worry about God. I said to Jesse Duplantis one time to fly that jet into like San Antonio. Cost about $10,000 just fuel and getting in there and getting out of here. And Jesse will go anywhere they ask him to preach. He'll go to churches that run 50. And I said, "Jesse, I'm concerned about you," because I knew the next place he was going. We've always treated Jesse well, but I knew the next place he was going was a real small church. I knew they wouldn't have enough money to pay the fuel to run that jet. I said, I'm really concerned about you and some of the places you go, Jesse. How do you make it financially?" He said, "Steve, don't ever worry about Jesse." Because he said, "Pastors are not my source." He said, "God is my source." He said, "I went to a little church a few days ago," and he said, "they did not pay a tenth of my expenses to get there." He said, "I was walking down the mall in New Orleans the very next day," and he said, "a man walked up to me and said, 'Jesse, I've been wanting to meet you in person. I got something for you.'" And said he handed me $40,000. He said, "It happens all the time." Friend, and so sometimes we worry about God, but you don't need to worry about God. You don't even have to be concerned about his church. He said, "I've got a church, and I'm going to build this church on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." If you think God is getting old, think again. If you think God is weak, think again. If you think God is broke, think again. If you think God is losing, think again. He is the God omnipotent. He is the God triumphant. But Elijah got that, I'm the only one, God. The kingdom of God is failing. And God said, no, Elijah, you're wrong. I've got a church. And he said, not only that, Elijah, you're going to die. And I've got your replacement. You know, sometimes we just feel like God can't do it without us. Friend, God's going to do it with or without you. A lot of people thought that when they got mad and got sideways, the church was going to stop. Oh, no, you can't stop God's church. It just keeps on going. And God said, I've got your replacement, Elijah. Elijah wasn't keen to hear that. He said, I want you to go down to the house of Shaphat, and there's a boy there, and I want you to just reach out to him. And so he goes down to Shaphat's house. Shaphat was a very wealthy man. And when he got there, there was Elisha traveling and plowing with 12 yoke of oxen out in the field. And Elijah was not real big about this appointment. Did you ever just do something because God told you, but you weren't too excited about doing it? It did to me. One time I was in Louisiana, and I was preaching at that time in the largest churches in our denomination. I just left a church that was running about 1,500, and my next meeting was in Fort Worth to the biggest church in that denomination in the state of Texas. And I was excited about going there. And I was at the Louisiana camp meeting, and this old man walked up to me, and he said, Brother Steve, he said, I need you to come and preach for me. Folks, he had about 25 people in a little paper mill town in North Louisiana. I wasn't about to go to that town. And I said, well, I appreciate you asking me, but I've got to go to Fort Worth next week, and I just wouldn't be able to come. He walked away, and the Lord said, if he ever asks you again, I'm commanding you to go preach for him. Well, he just asked me. He wasn't ever going to ask me again. So I said, all right, Lord. I was at a concession stand buying a hot dog and a Coke, talking to the Lord and explaining to the Lord how he didn't want me to go to a little paper mill town in Louisiana with a church of 25. And lo and behold, that old man did a U-turn. He said, Brother Steve, I just didn't feel good about our conversation. He said, I just want to ask you again, is there any way you could come and preach for me? I didn't want to go there. But I heard myself saying, I'll be there Sunday night. And that Sunday night, that's where I was. There's about maybe 25 to 30 people there. And I remember in that town, I had a light green Lincoln. And every morning I had to wash my car because that paper mill would just send out that stuff and it would get all over your car. You had to wash your car every day. Oh, that was quite a place. I walked out there to that church, and one of the greatest evangelists I'd ever known had told me, said, I just spent 5 weeks in that church. He said, not one person got saved. Not one person got baptized. Not one person received the Holy Spirit. He said, don't go there, Steve. It is a waste of your life to go there. And so I walked in that place. I didn't want to be there. But I walked out there. And Becky, back in those days, Becky would always go to the Hammond B3 and we'd sing a few courses before I preached the Word of God. And she started playing that Hammond B3 and we started singing. It was the deadest little group of people you ever saw. And all of a sudden, I saw 5 grown men stand up. I found out later their wives were all saved and none of them were saved. They stood up, lifted their hands, and all 5 of them got baptized with the Holy Ghost. The very next night, that building was packed with people. I stayed there for weeks, and the last night I was there, we baptized 40-some people. It was one of the greatest revival I ever had, and I had it in a little paper mill town because God called me there. I didn't want to go. Elijah did not want to go and bring Elisha into the ministry. That was his competitor. He just cast his mantle out and said, I'm on my way. But Elisha said, oh, I've been changed. I've been changed. He said, I'll never be the same again. Friend, when God touches you, if you respond to it, you'll never be the same again. When I was a young kid just going into the ministry, my dad was a workaholic. He was raised during the Depression, but he wasn't going to stay poor just because he was raised poor. My daddy did everything he could to make a living. He had an insurance business. He was an engineer for over 30 years on the New York Central Railroad. He had orchards. He had strawberries. He had farms. He had cattle. He just everything. And always working, never sleeping, always working. And then he stumbled onto something, or the Lord guided him. He went into a pharmaceutical business, a veterinary supply business for horses in the 1960s, and the horse craze was on, and he suddenly started making money hand over fist, just unbelievable amounts of money. And when I was a kid in high school, Daddy would say, "Can you skip school tomorrow? I need you to work for me. I'll give you $500, Steve, if you'll miss school tomorrow." And so when I was in high school, I could skip school and make $500. That'd be like $5,000 a day now. So I'd skip school, and I'd go see all these veterinarians and call on them for the product Dad was saying. But then Dad had a heart attack, and I just started preaching. And he had a heart attack, and he couldn't do the business. He had nobody to leave it to. And so he sent me down. He said, "I know that you're preaching, him and Mama. I know you want to preach, son, but that's probably going to be a hard thing. Why don't you just give that up and take over this business?" And the flesh was real tempted, but I remember I hurt my mama and my daddy's feelings. And it wasn't because I wanted to. It was because the Spirit of God had touched me, and I knew I had no option but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elisha was the same way. He said, "When I felt the mantle of the Lord come upon me," he said, "I've got to go." And he said to his daddy, "I'd like to stay here and inherit your business, but I'm going to kill the oxen and I'm going to burn the plows because I ain't never coming back because I've been touched by the Holy Spirit." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, when I came to Christ, I didn't get religion. I got empowered with the Holy Spirit. I got transformed. I got changed. That's the reason why Living Way Church is the church of too much. It's the church of seconds. It's the church of the second mile. We even have a second mile offering. It's the church of second chance. It's the church's let's try it again. You're down. It's the church of let's get up. It's the church of you're not too far gone because God is able. Because we're not about religion. We're about the power of the living God. And we believe that Jesus Christ died for all men. And we don't believe that anybody is beyond the scope of his grace or beyond the reach of his mercy. And we believe that every time we gather together, it's an event in heaven. We believe that when we come out here on Wednesdays and Sundays and Thursdays and whenever we gather, we believe that heaven is watching. We believe that God is adorning this place. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a reality. We believe that there is a supernatural relationship with God. We believe that a fleshly, human, normal, mortal can become immortal by the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. I believe that while I am speaking right now, somebody can get saved. I believe that while I am preaching right now, that's the reason why I love the verse, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell." While I'm speaking these words, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is talking to your heart, that Jesus Christ is whispering in your ear. And he's talking not about politics. He's talking about you and your need. He's talking about the arthritis in your body. He's talking about your child that's not saved. He's talking to you about your business. And if you'll say Jesus, Jesus went to the multitude, but he was always looking for somebody that would say yes. And if you'll say Jesus, I'm ready right now. I promise you, before you walk out of this building, your life will be changed. Your spirit will be transformed. It happened to Elisha, and Elisha said, "I'm sorry, but I am changed forever. I'll never ever be the same again." Elijah was not happy about that. Elijah didn't want to give up his ministry. I've said before, I'm finding out it's a whole lot harder to quit, Mary, than it was start. when Becky and I came to San Antonio with little or no money and we didn't know a soul, I didn't have a problem at all getting started. We gathered six people that first Sunday in our house right down here in Valley Forge, just two exits down, and we started having church. That was so easy. It was just second nature to me. I'd been called of God. But now they say, you're 75 years of age. I hardly have a pastor friend that's still pastoring or preaching. They're all at Branson. They're all in Florida. They're all somewhere on vacation. They've all retired. And every one of them say, Steve, when are you going to quit? Oh, friend, I'd like to quit, but I don't know how. It's just so hard to quit when you know that God has called you and God is with you and you're on the precipice of the greatest thing you've ever seen. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Living Way has not come to its greatest moment. I believe there are going to be services that explode with people getting saved and filled with the power of God. The spirit of Elisha is on me. I said, I'll never be the same again. And he said, Elijah, I'm going to follow you. And Elijah said, you don't need to follow me. Oh, yes, I do. Where you go, I'm going to go because I want an anointed Holy Ghost filled ministry. And so Elijah just couldn't get rid of him. He just couldn't get him because he said, I want the power of God in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that more than anything, I desire to see revival at Living Way, San Antonio, and America. I believe that I'm going to see millions of people saved around this nation before I die, and I just can't stop. But Elijah said, I tell you what, son, I've got some business. You see, because actually Elijah was kind of an adversary of Elisha. Son, it's not time yet. Go find something to do. And so there he was at Abel Meholah. That was a town. That was a place. And Elijah said, just sit down here and I'll be back for you later. If you look at that word and say, what does Abel Meholah mean? It means a place of ease and entertainment. And so all of my contemporaries are playing golf. But friend, I find no interest in playing golf. Somehow there is something in me that is hungrier than it's ever been, thirstier than it's ever been. Reba said, something happened to you on your birthday. Yeah, and it's happened on every day since. I feel the Holy Ghost on me. Say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Jake said it, but it's true. God's getting ready to do something we've never seen before. And so he said, stay here, and I'll be back. No, I'm not going to stay here, Elijah. I'm going to follow you. And finally, he said, what in the world do you want? He said, I want a double portion of what you've got, Elijah. I thank God when I read about revivals that have happened in the past, but I don't want just what's happened. I want even more. I believe that God's best work is going to be his end work. I believe God's best work is going to be in the day before the rapture of God. Something is about to happen. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be right in the middle of it. I want to see your children in this altar. I want to see your family saved and healed. I want to see the tears running down your face. Say, look what the Lord has done in my family, Pastor Steve. I said, yes, I've been believing on it. I've been praying for it. I want a double portion. But Elijah said, no, stay here. He said, I'm not going to stay here at the place of entertainment and ease. I'm going to follow you, Elijah. And Elijah said, well, I've got to go somewhere else. I've got to go to Gilgal. And he said, you won't really like it there. Stay right here. He said, no, I want you to go. I want to go where you go because I want everything you've got and more too. And when they got to Gilgal, he said, stay here. You know what Gilgal means? It means the place of past blessing. The devil wants us to celebrate our past and forfeit our future. I ask you, are you going to do that? Are you going to celebrate your past and forfeit your future? Are you going to say, because I'm 50 years of age, my best years are behind me? Are you going to say, because I've raised my kids and they're gone, my best years are behind me? And so I will stay at Gilgal. the place of past blessing? Or will you say, I've got the spirit of Elisha on me and I want a double portion. I want more than I've ever had in my life. Friend, I'm telling you that God is no respecter of people. God is no respecter of places. God is no respecter of posture. God is no respecter of ages. But he does respect your hunger and your thirst. Is there anybody inside this building that's got the same thing that says, I'm so hungry. I want to see the power of God. I want to see God's glory. I want to see miracles and signs and wonders. I want to see entire sections of people that are filled with homosexuals that got saved. I want a whole section of people that used to have cancer, but now they're cancer free. I want them to stack up wheelchairs in the foyer and throw canes on the floor. I believe the best is yet to come. Elijah, I know you're not excited about me being with you, but I'm not staying at the place of past blessing, and I'm not just going to rejoice about what God has done. I am going to say God is about to do a new thing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God is speaking to us. And so they get to Jericho, and he said, here, I want you to stay in Jericho because I've got to go on. Just stay here. Elisha said, no, I'm not going to stay here. Jericho means a place of leisure. Just spend your leisure. I'm amazed when I look around and that's all people are seeking is leisure. I'm not looking. They say all the time, I just got to get away. I just got to get away. I ain't wanting to get away nowhere. God has called me here. I'm like the prophet. The Lord said, I'll feed you there. God has promised me something in San Antonio, and I've seen a bunch of it, but I hadn't seen all of it. It's getting ready to be bigger and better than I've ever experienced before. And so I refuse to stay here at the place of leisure. I'm going to follow you, Elijah, until I see you and I receive that mantle. Because you touched me with it when I first met you, and I was impressed. I was changed. I was transformed, and I will be satisfied with nothing less than a double portion. And sure enough, it comes a time when God gets ready to take Elijah, and he hasn't been able to shake Elisha. Elisha's been right there. And suddenly here comes the chariot of God to scoop up Elijah. And Elijah is gone. But that mantle that touched Elisha years before comes floating down. And there's Elisha saying, I got to get the mantle. Mantle. I got to catch that mantle because he's promised me if I'll catch the mantle, there's going to be a double portion. He gets that mantle and the schools of the prophets, the kids are watching him. He takes that mantle and he does it like a boy in a locker room with a towel. He whips it out across that river and it parts and he realizes that the anointing of Elijah is upon him. And when you study it, Elijah did 14 great miracles in his life, but Elisha did 28. 28 great miracles because he would not settle for less. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you this. Are we going to settle on our lees? Are we going to be comfortable at ease in Zion? Or are we going to realize that God has called us for such a time as this? It's up to us to obtain something so great that other people desire it. There's nothing that draws people when you're dying like wealth. Old poor people die alone. Old rich people die with a hospital room full. We used to have a little lady came to this church. She moved here from Lafayette, Louisiana. I never will forget her. She was a sweetheart. When she moved to San Antonio, she was in her late 70s. And she became just a wonderful lady, didn't miss service. Just a little widow woman. She came. I heard she was very, I'd go and see her. I heard she was very sick. Her family was not Christian, but she was died in the wool, Holy Ghost filled. I heard that she was sick, that she wasn't going to make it. So I thought I better go over there and hold her hand. She'll be so alone. When I got to the hospital and I got to her room, I couldn't get in the room. And sitting right next to her bed was the president of my bank. I said, "How do you know her?" He said, "She banks with us." Friend, I'm going to tell you, the president of the bank is not going to sit at your hospital bed because you got a checking account with him. I asked somebody, "Why is the banker here?" Said, "You don't know?" I said, "I don't know." Said, "She is a multi-millionaire. She owned land that her husband left her in Lafayette. And it was on that freeway. And she sold it for tens of millions of dollars." And so the banker came to her bedside. But I'm not just talking about money. If we become rich with a double portion of God's blessing, if we get to where we can heal the sick, save the lost, I promise you, we won't die alone. A friend of mine had a church. He wanted to build and he couldn't get any money. He wanted $5 million. He called me and said, "Steve, can you help me get some finance?" I said, "How much you need?" His name's Steve too. I said, "How much you need, Steve?" He said, $5 million. I said, "I'll see what I can do." I called him back within 24 hours and said, "Steve, I've secured $5 million for you to build your church." So I got him $5 million alone from a bank in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. He built that church, and I was going to preach one night in a little church in Houston. It was dark, the heavy lights outside. I was by myself, and I started to go in the door of the church out there at the back of the church. It was just pitch black. Somebody said, "Hey," kind of scared me. I sat there by myself. I turned around, and it was this same man. He stuck something in my pocket, and when I got home and took off my suit that night, I just said, "Oh, he put something in front of me." It was $5,000. A little note said, "Thank you for helping me build a church." Well, it didn't stop there. He called me after a year or so, and he said, "Man, I'm having tough times making the payments on that $5 million. He said, it's pushing us. I said, "Well, I'll pray, brother, see what we can do." He called me not long after that. He said, "Your prayers worked." I said, "What happened?" He said, "We got a little guy, teenager, saved." He said, "He's strung out terrible on drugs. Just his life was basically over. He was headed for death. We got him saved, turned his life around." He said, "His daddy walked into my office last week. And he said, 'I'm not a Christian. I don't come to your church, but you saved my boy. How much do you owe on this church?' He said, 5 million. He said, 'Here it is.' He said, 'Pastor, where do you live?' He said, 'I live in a rented house.' He said, 'That's not good enough. Here's you $1 million. Get you a nice house.' What are you saying? I'm saying when you get the anointing, the double portion, everything in life will change. Everything in life will change. Everything in life will change. That's what Living Way Church is about. I want to push you to your limit. I want you to become all you can become. I want you to have all you can have. I want you to possess all you can possess. I want you to have the ministry that God's called you to do. You can go to another church and sit down and be saved and just live a normal life. But that's not who you are. That's the reason why you stuck around. You're an Elisha saying, 'I've got to have a double portion.' Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, the mantle is about to fall. And if you will receive the mantle, God is going to change your life. He's going to save your household, save your family. Turn your business around. Turn your job around. Turn your finance around. Heal your body. Give you years yet to live. Praise God. I tell you that God is looking for Elishas, because there's a whole generation of Elijahs that are through. but you are an Elisha, and this is your time, and this is your place, and this is your hour. And I challenge you, don't let up. Don't stop in Gilgal. Don't rest in Jericho, but say, God, I'm charging the altar. I am demanding a double portion, and God loves it. He loves people that seek. He loves people that ask. He loves people that knock. He loves people that wrestle. He loves people that will not give up. And so if you are in this house today and you're not satisfied, I challenge you to get up out of that chair and come to this altar and say, God, look at me, look at me. I'm a double portion lady. I'm a double portion man. I'm not satisfied. I've been baptized. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but I'm not satisfied. I want a double portion blessing on my life. And God said, you're just the woman. Just the man I'm looking for in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to ask you a favor. You came to me with sin. I overlooked your sin and preached to you and pastored you. You came to me with problems and I overlooked your problems and said, you're one of us. Come right on. Now here I am at 75 years of age. I want you to forget my age and say, Pastor, we're going to link arms and we've got another 5 or 10 or 15, 20 years to save San Antonio, and I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with you, and I am demanding that the mantle of Elijah descend upon this church and we become the double portion church that you knew God called you to build. That's what I'm asking you to do today.